Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well,
the recording has started.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of Your 1 Hour Inspirational Programming. I'm your host and facilitator, Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm so glad to be with you all tonight. Thank you so very much for joining us. We've got a very good show for you tonight, started and planned. Let's go ahead and welcome the Honorable Pastor Castile Road to tonight's broadcast. Pastor Road, it's good to have you always.
Well, Dr. Walker, it's just great to be on the show, and I'm just a thirsty person, you know, from Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays, and it all debates every week with the Saturdays. I'm just thirsty for the knowledge that you provide that we can share with others. God bless you and your noble endeavors, and we're here to undergird you with the vision and dream that you have. God bless you. God bless you.
Okay, Pastor, we certainly do appreciate that, and thank you for reading that. So we're going to ask you to say a word of prayer for us, invite God into our programming tonight.
Merciful and eternal God, our Father, we just give honor, glory, and thanks to you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Your name is to be glorified and praised, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for leading us into the green pastures of the Blog Talk Radio Show and beside the still waters, Lord. Continue to be with Dr. Walker and this awesome team that we have to share the dream and the vision with others. And Lord, just help us to remember, Lord, not so much of ourselves, but the other geographical locations that we have, Lord, all around the world, where we'll be being able to make a difference in the lives of others, be a catalyst for change and an impact in the world with the things that they need, the basic need, food, clothing, and shelter. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we pray a special prayer for Sister Sparkles, who would not be able to be with us tonight. She is just a great light to the Blog Talk Radio Show, so we pray for her. This prayer, we pray in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Pastor Ro. Thank all of you all for joining us this evening. Let's go ahead and welcome Ms. Jay. Ms. Jay, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you here.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday. I'm glad to be with you.
All right. Dina Slayer, nice to have you with us. We'll read the disclaimer in just a moment, Ms. J.
No, I'm telling you, it's a lot of things in my spiritual room today. I stay up in prayer, Pastor Road, and love Ms. J's hardiness and her bluntness, welcoming the new person, Mia. So it's been a lot of things going on with me. I've been up in the weather, but I'm here, and I'm just trying to beat this, so I'm going to beat it. Along with these demons, let's have a great show tonight.
All right, excellent, excellent. Let's go ahead and welcome Mimi to tonight's broadcast. Mimi, it's good to have you here with us. Thank you for joining us.
It's nice to be here, Ms. Mimi. Hello, everyone. Thanks for welcoming
me. All right, excellent. We're glad to have you. Ms. Gia, if you would be so kind to go ahead and read that disclaimer, we certainly would appreciate that.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, we should make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show, on any of Dr. Jesse Walker's shows or serious shows, are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his serious co-host, his featured guests, listeners, and co
professional or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The show intent is not to push any denominations, religions, or traditions, but to share knowledge and experiences with no offensive or negative tone. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and let's enjoy the program tonight.
All right. Great, Ms. J. We certainly do appreciate that. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, what does the Bible say when it comes to marriage? Who comes first? What does the Bible say when it comes to marriage? Who comes first, your spouse or your children? Pastor Rowe, we got to begin with you tonight. And what does the Word of God say about when it comes to marriage? Who comes first, the spouse or the children? I'm just asking here. I'd like to know.
Well, I guess a thought that just come to me, and I believe it's in Corinthians, if I'm wrong. My memory, well, basically what it says, you know, it says that wives are to submit themselves, you know, to their husbands, and the spouses are to love their wife. That means to love, to respect, to care for, you know. But basically, when we read that submitting, you know, the husband and the spouse to submit to each other, you know, they come first.
Okay, so the spouses come first. Okay, so as many of you all may recall, we did the show last night in terms of if a woman is out on a boat with her husband and her 6-year-old daughter, and the boat capsizes and she can only save herself and one other person. We had a number of people that said, we asked this very question, and at the top of the hour, they felt that the spouse should come first. But then we put a little twist to the story. They later said that they would save their child. Pastor Rowe, what do you say about that? Now that we, you know, we look at what the Bible says, that the spouse goes come first, if it's a life or death situation, should that woman not save her child, instead look to save the wife? Or what if a woman was given birth and now she wasn't in a capacity to answer for herself? And Mimi, we're going to come to you with the same question. And now she's not in a position to answer for herself. But the husband says, well, who do you want to save, the wife or the child? But let's start first with, do people get it right when there's a life-threatening situation and the woman can only save one person, herself and one other? Who should she save, Pastor Rowe?
Well, you know, the thing about that, and I love some of the comments, and I won't call no names, but, well, yeah, well, Sister J always give positive comments, you know, and a lot of time, a lot of things run through our head, you know, whether, you know, the relationship that you have with your spouse or husband, maybe one might have been cheating on the other, and you know all of these things, you know. You know, I know all of this, you know, basically, come into consideration, you know. But I will just say it this way, you know, when you look at who come first, you know, I just feel the spouse, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten God's son. He died for us. You know, he could have said, no, I'm not going to go to the cross, you know. But he knew what he was called to do, and I just feel, you know, to shed his blood with many, you know, whether the just or the unjust. And so I just feel that regardless of the relationship that you have with your spouse, I just feel that the spouse should come first. That's just my thought and my opinion.
Okay, so Pastor Rowe, in that scenario from last night's show, so there's a situation where that child can die, the woman should save her husband as opposed to the child?
Well, one thing that we mentioned, and I just had a little slant too, you know, I think we said, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the spouse learned how to swim at a very, very early age. And so I just feel that if you, you know, for me, I would grab my spouse and together on that raft the thing that they're holding on to, I would, you know, hold on to my spouse and, you know, just dog paddle, try to get to the child so we, the three of us could be saved.
All right, but that's not what the scenario was. But we certainly do appreciate your opinion. Mimi, let's bring you in here. Just before we do, we want to go ahead and welcome Candlestick. Candlestick, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Okay, excellent. Mimi, I want to bring you in here. Mimi, and I mean, we had the show last night, and we were talking about the spiritual part of it now. What does the Bible say about when it comes to marriage, who comes first, the spouse or the children? Let's address that question first, Mimi. Who comes first, Mimi?
I would say it's the spouse when it comes to, I'm just dealing with who comes first, the spouse or the children in marriage. However, in the case of the scenario from last night, I was one that said spouse, but I would have to say my child.
Okay, so wait a minute. Hold up, Mimi. Help me understand this. Now, God said, the word of God says one thing. So are you telling me you're going to go contrary? Mimi, I'm just asking here in a humble and
yes.
You're going to go contrary to what the word of the Bible?
No, I'm not going contrary. I did say the spouse as far as concerning the marriage. Who comes first, the spouse or the child? In a marriage, your spouse comes first. But in both, and I'm trying to save just one person.
Uh-huh.
If I can only save one, it would be my child.
Okay, so now I'm really, really confused, Mimi. And maybe you can help me become unconfused.
Okay.
So if the Bible says your spouse comes first, and you got to make a decision between your spouse and your child, you're going to favor your child. Is that right?
I'm going to save my child.
Yes.
The child has to come
here. Right. Okay, Mimi, we're going to ask you to stand by. I'm confused here. So, Demon Slayer, let me bring you in here. Demon Slayer, maybe you can help me with this. So, the word of God, Demon, let me just ask you, who comes first in the marriage, the spouse or the children?
You asking me?
No, Demon Slayer. So you brought up something that Ms. J said last night. It depends on some things and maybe how the relationship is going. So if the relationship is rocky, but the word of God says your spouse comes first. So Demon Slayer, am I hearing you clearly say that it depends if I'm not getting along with my spouse, then I'm going to, even though it's a hard decision, I'm going to save my child? I mean, help me with that, please.
Sometimes people go on emotions, and if that person is cheating on you and stuff like that, and it gets easy to see. But like I said, I'm just referring to what they said last night. But, you know, it's been a hard thing to decide because each decision you make, you got to see the other person drown. So that's going to be very hard. That's going to be on your mental and the long term and everything. So that's very good for you that we're talking about tonight.
All right. Candlestick, let me bring you in here. Candlesticks, we want you to go ahead and extend your welcome. We have a new co-host that's joining us, bringing a wealth of information as well as the rest of you all. And her name is Gail Holmes, a.k.a. Mimi. So go ahead and welcome Mimi, Candlestick, to our broadcast and our family.
Well, welcome, Ms. Mimi. I am new myself. I've only been here maybe a couple of months, maybe that long, you know, if that long. But I welcome you to the group, to the family.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, yeah, and we're learning and we're growing.
We certainly are. We certainly are. And some.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm getting confused. I can't speak for anybody else. So here we are again, and tonight's topic is, if you're just joining us, What does the Word of God, what does the Bible say when it comes to marriage? Who comes first, the spouse or the children? Candlesticks, let me ask you. I mean, if we read the Bible and interpret it properly, should we try our best to honor what the Bible says? Or should we just kind of rely on our own stuff?
No, we should try our best to rely on the Word of God. And I know it's some hard, hard choices when it comes to our emotional state. But the Bible says when you remarry, believe and cleave. And if say, for instance, if there was two couples, a husband and wife, or someone who couldn't have children, you know, I mean, when you marry your spouse, you guys become one. So are you going to allow half of your body to drown? But it doesn't say that we become one with our children. We become one with the person that we marry.
So, Candlestick, I know you weren't with us last night, but we had a show when it comes to marriage. Who comes first, your spouse or your children? I mean, your spouse or your children. So we gave a scenario, it was a story, and basically, this guy Dennis and his wife Carol and their six-year-old daughter were on a boat. The boat capsized, but Dennis kind of gave the story. He gave a story, a hypothetical, and he asked his wife Carol, if we were out here on this boat and there's a very religious family, and he said if she could only save one person, herself and one other person, of the three of them, who would she save? And so she pondered this question, and she asked him, can you accept my honest opinion? Can you accept the truth? And he said, yes, of course. And so she reluctantly and hesitantly told him she would save their six-year-old daughter. Now, Dennis got upset. They were lying in bed talking. And he went to another room and slept in that room for 3 months, and he's still in that room sleeping without her. She went to try to apologize and say, you know, if you were a woman, you would understand. I gave birth to this child. He said, but I'm supposed to come first. I'm your husband. So, Candlestick, I'm going to ask you the same scenario. You're on this boat with your six-year-old daughter that's adorable. You love her, part of your body. Your husband is bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. That's what Adam and Eve, you know, the two shall be one. And so now you can only save yourself and one other person. Candlestick, whom do you save?
I have to call on the name of Jesus at that moment. Make the choice for me. The right thing or the biblical thing to do, I believe, would be to save my spouse. Because feelings and emotions, you know, they come and go. And I know that Adam and Eve didn't have children at the time when Eve ate of the fruit she offered to her husband, you know, and he was disobedient in eating of the fruit because he didn't trust God to be able to, I want to replace the woman, but to fulfill that void or that need in him. And we see where Adam's choice got us as a world in sin. And, you know, we all are born in sin, now and shaped in iniquity because of his disobedience. So we have to trust God. Oh, gosh, we have to trust God.
Okay. Oh, gosh, we have to trust God, you said. So you're calling on Jesus, but you got a split second to make a decision.
Oh, I just said I would save my husband. I said that.
Oh, you would. So Candlestick, let me, Candlestick, I got to ask you this. Candlestick, two questions. One. You can look in your child's eyes and just let them go, just like that, Candlestick. 6 years old, adorable little girl. Adorable little girl.
I'm not saying I'm going to let her go just like that. I'm not saying that with no emotions attached. That's not what I'm saying. You asked me what choice would I make,
yeah,
and that would be my choice.
The Savior.
Not saying that I would not suffer for that. Not saying that I, you know, I have to. I would hope that I would have to trust in God for the healing or whatever comes after that. I would, you know, that's a very, very hard choice to even put someone in. Dr. Walker, can I reverse the question to you? What would you do in a situation like this? Have you answered that question?
Yes, I would save my spouse. I would save my spouse.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking that she's supposed to come first. She's supposed to come first, so I would save my spouse. But and then there's another twist to the story. If you and your husband weren't getting along as well, you still save him? You would still save him?
Yes, I would still do my best to save him because I want to be and do what Christ would have me to do.
Okay, so
I don't want people to think I'm saying that to be that I got it all together or, you know, whatever, because Lord knows I don't. But I want to be, I try to be what God would have me to be as far as obedience, because for each one of us, our final goal is to see Christ in peace. Our salvation is an individual thing. It's not corporate, even though husband and wife are one when they get married. But when we die spiritually alone. You know, we may physically be around someone else, but God is the one that we have to ultimately answer to. No one can take that place for us at all.
I get it. So now, Candlesticks, I want to give you the other part of this equation, and that is you saved your spouse who you knew came first, and this is inspired by a true story, you all. But 2 years later, your husband divorces you for a much younger woman, and he feels she's prettier. He divorces you, but he was actually seeing this woman all along. You just didn't know it. And your child drowned because you were supposed to save your spouse. How would that make you feel? I'm sorry, we can't hear you well.
You're saying that this is a true scenario?
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow. I want to sound like, and this is no offense to you, Miss J, but I want to just jump on this man after all of that. Oh, my gosh.
So when you say jump on him, you mean jump on him passionately to show your...
No, jump on him with anger, with distaste. I mean, how dare him, you know, after I chose him, which I was supposed to do, and our child died, and then you turn around and you choose another woman over me?
A much younger woman, and he felt she was prettier because he liked beauty.
Yeah. Dr. Walker, that girl woman could have been 90 years old. It didn't matter if he chose any woman.
But where's that Christian part of you that did what you thought was the right thing, though, Candlestick?
Oh, it is still there, but that still does not take away the hurt and pain, and that would still be, again, something that me and the good Lord we have to really have a come to Jesus.
But can he just say, you, baby, I really appreciate you saving me, but I'm just not really happy. And I was going to tell you this when we got back anyway, that I was seeing somebody else, and I was going to ask you for a divorce. And I hope you understand. You know, he says, I need more excitement in my life. You know.
No, I would have to leave the state that we were in.
You would have to leave the state, but I thought you were going to have a come to Jesus meeting.
I have to leave the state because my flesh would rise up, you know, because the old man is always there. Satan is always, always on us, you know, so we have to do whatever we need to do to guard the avenues of our heart. Wow.
Okay, so we're going to ask you to stand by. Wow. If you just joined us.
Thank you for allowing me to, you know, bring me up to date on yesterday's topic. Wow.
Yes, and you can certainly go back into the archives, y'all, if you all need to know how to get in. Just send me a text, and I will send you a link to get in there. Yeah, this is a tough one. This is definitely a tough one. I know Ms. J had to step out. If she wants to say anything, she can certainly chime in at any point in time. Let me go here and bring back in. Let's go ahead. Mimi, let me bring you back in here. Mimi, here's another scenario. What does the Bible say about who comes first, your spouse or your child? The father wants to actually fuss at this daughter. She's a teenager. She's 14, and you know, yeah, she got some attitude or ways. She's got attitude. That's the bottom line. She's got attitude, and so the father is yelling at her, and he's grabbing her. And threatening to beat her, you know, just to slap her. And the mother's had enough at him fussing at their child. She gave birth. So she steps in after he's gone off on this girl for 15 minutes. So the mother steps in now, and she says, "That's enough. I've heard enough. Leave her alone. Leave her alone." Wasn't the mother, Mimi, supposed to stand by her man, her husband man, and let him discipline the child, even if he was going to slap her, the child? I mean, help me understand who comes first.
So what is this like discipline? That's the beef, in my opinion. There's a way to discipline and there's a way not to. And that's where you have to separate, you know, slapping, hitting with objects other than, you know, a rod. I know she's 14, but at 14, you may have to take something away, you know, cell phone, no TV, no company. But as far as slapping, I disagree with slapping kids. It's not right.
So
I wouldn't say that to him in front of her. I would wait to, it's just him and I, and we would have a discussion about it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's some ground rules on discipline.
Okay, but right now he's doing this act, and it's going on for 15 minutes. Aren't you going, and the mother steps in. Was the mother wrong to tell him that's enough, and she comes with this attitude? Because the mother feels this. When you're affecting her child, the mother feels that. So now, but was the mother wrong? Should she have stood by her husband, man? Mimi, that's the question we're asking. Huh?
You agree with the discipline, but there's a way to discipline. And slapping, I don't think that's it.
Okay, so now, so shouldn't the husband come first, even though he was doing this and now she's going in front of the child and saying, "That's enough. Leave her alone." And da-da-da-da-da. So, Mimi, what is – now the child is like, you know, I can run the moment for anything.
No, it wouldn't be like that. It would be, you know, we'll talk about it, but, you know, slap your child, that's not going to do it because you teach her that it's okay for me to beat her, and it's not.
Okay, so Mimi, am I hearing you correctly? You're going to step up to him, and you're
going
to support.
I'm going to defend my child, but then I speak with him. We can agree on how we're going to discipline, but it wouldn't be flopping in the form of discipline. She's 14. At that age, take things away, you know, pleasures away. You know, you can't go. Out with your friends or you lose your cell phone, you know, no social, you know, no contact with other people until you can get it right, attitude, because it's an attitude adjustment that you need to make.
Okay, so, Mimi, I want to...
14-year-old, I don't think it's going to work.
Okay, so, Mimi, here it is. So the man now, and I'm going to play that man role if you don't mind playing with me here. So now the man's got an attitude. You know, every time I try to tell, and this is... You're this is you and I playing the role. every time I try to discipline this child, you come in and you get involved. You get on my nerves with this because, you know, you're not going to, you know, I'm trying to teach this child something so that she don't end up out here pregnant like some of these other girls, like your cousin in your family. Now,
that's exactly where you're going to push her out, in the street.
The child was standing there, though.
No, we wouldn't have that conversation. I would stop the conversation right there. I would either tell her to remove herself, or we would go into a room where it's just...
But he ain't going into the room. I'm not going into the room. I'm telling you this right now in front of her. I'm telling her this right now in front of her. You know, you make these decisions, and this child can end up pregnant just like your cousin.
I don't think so. I wouldn't have a conversation. He'd be talking by himself.
So where are you going to go, Mimi? Mimi?
I'm going to leave the room.
Don't you hear me talking to you? How are you going to disrespect me and just walk out on me just like that? You know, I'm supposed to be the man of the house, and you disrespecting me over disciplining our child? Now he's shouting, Mimi.
Okay.
So you're going to
That's a bad example for the child.
But you done hurt his ego. And so now you're walking out on him. Mimi, help me understand.
In order, you know, if you don't feed the fire, only one can, you know, two have to argue. One can doesn't argue by himself. So I wouldn't give him the argument. We would talk about it at a later date. Well, not at a later date, at a later time. So,
okay, he says, I want to talk about this right now, because you've been doing it too much. Every time I try to say something to the child, you got to say something.
Okay, well, it's how do you talk to people? And, you know, you don't fuss at people. If you want to talk to people, you talk to them, not at them.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Candlestick, I want to bring you in here. Same situation. Every time I try to say something to the child, you want to butt in. Well, this is my daughter, too. Candlestick?
I would say, Jesse, I understand that this is your child as well, but right now I think you have gotten a little out of hand, and I would say, and I'm just going to use the child's person's name. I said, Jessica, you need to go to your room so that your dad and I can have a conversation.
No, I want her to stay right here to listen to this. She's old enough now,
Jesse,
to know what's going on.
Jesse, don't raise your voice at me.
What you mean don't raise my voice at you? You usually call me sweetie. Now I know you got an attitude because you're not calling me sweetie. You see?
Yes, I have an attitude right now.
So if she mess around and get pregnant like your 14-year-old cousin did, then what you going to say about that then?
Jesse, why are you bringing my cousin into this situation?
Because I'm trying to make sure that this doesn't happen to our daughter like it happened to your cousin and your dysfunctional family.
Well, you know, Jesse, you and I are not like my cousin's parents. Or my niece's parents. So you and I are different. But how we run our household here is how we run it. We don't look at anyone else's household and compare theirs to ours because you are a better father than that.
Wow. But it's like I'm upset now and I slam the door and walk out. So Pastor Rowe, let me bring you in here. Pastor Rowe, now, should the woman have stood by my side? Should she have stood by my side while I'm disciplining the child? I'm the head of the house. Pastor Rowe, what is happening here?
After Pastor Rowe, I'd like to comment on that particular one, Dr. Jesse.
Okay. Pastor Rowe, can you hear? Oh, he's on mute. Okay. Hang on a second. Okay, Pastor Rowe, you're on mute. Pastor Rowe, can you hear?
I get it unmuted. It's very interesting. You know, you said a number of things. You know, if you got a child, you know, now back in me and your days, and you know I'm telling you the truth, you know, if we censored our parents out or whatever, it wouldn't, I'm just going to say it, they would knock your teeth down your throat, you know.
Right.
I'm not saying I agree with that, you know, but it was very few children being disobedient and all this we have with children these days, you know. But now, you know, if you mess around and even yell at your kids or, you know, whatever, because I'm going to call 911, you know. But look at all the problems that we're having now with the influence, social media, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know. But it's interesting, you hit a number of scenarios, but I would never be disrespectful to my wife. You know, if my wife say, honey, you know, I would say, Jessica or Jane Doe or whatever, you know, go to your room for me and my wife. We can talk about this matter or whatever. You know, but I would never be disrespectful to my wife in front of my child.
Right. So, Pastor, let me just ask you this. You have children, is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, so, Pastor, were you always in character when you got upset with your wife or your kid? Or was there ever a time that the human part of you showed up and you just went off on your wife and you had to later come and apologize because you went off in front of the children? But because you were upset.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't have to qualify it by saying that I have never been disrespectful. Let's see. Sometimes, you know, things like that can happen. That's why you got to keep yourself prayed up, you know. You might need to just, you know, walk out the house or get in your car, ride around the block or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you should never be disrespectful to the spouse in front of the children.
Right. So, but Pastor, has there ever been a time that in your recollection that you can recall that you got so upset that you may have slapped your wife even, and it may not have been in front of the children, but you slapped her and you later realized that you were just human and you got upset and you had to apologize?
No, sir. No, sir. Not, you know, things can happen, you know, whether somebody, you know, give you, what you call the AIDS or gonorrhea or whatever, you know, you can do, you know, get out of character or something like that. But no, that never happened to me.
Okay.
You know, but now I have had arguments now. I'll tell you that, you know, with my ex. You know, I have arguments, you know. But, you know, you always got to keep yourself, you know, prayed up. And then the next thing I want to hit on the next 20 seconds, Vivian, you know, when you think, what was the other subject? You know, we talk about Christ on the cross, you know, and he, you know, his father told him to go down and to give his body, you know, he saved brother, but he can't save himself, you know. But Christ, you know, he was obedient to his father. And he went ahead and gave his, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Come down. But I'm glad he stayed on the cross for, look at all the people in the sins that the Hitlers and other the sins that he done. But everybody, he's so, long story short, he was so, so we have to be obedient to God, you know, put our spouse first.
Okay, so Pastor Roe, I'm just trying to find out here, once again, Pastor Roe, just a quick answer, if you don't mind, please, sir, with all respect, I ask of that. So should the wife have come and stood by my side to show that she's in solidarity with me, with
yes.
this child? So she should have, yes. even though I was fussing at the child and so forth and so on, you're saying, yes, she should have stood with me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go
to... Hold on. Let me just say that this is important. Right or wrong? Now, you know, I'm just thinking, I'm not texting, I'm just 1,000% correct. But right or wrong, the spouse should always, the husband should stand beside the wife, or the wife should, you know, you should have a division in front of the children. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right, so right, did I hear you correctly, Pastor? Right or wrong, she's supposed to stand in solidarity with her man because he comes first. Is that fair to say that you're saying?
I didn't say, you know, I would just say, honey, I understand, you know, your thoughts and everything, but we'll talk about this later. You know, I get those words right, so I'm not coming against my wife in front of the children.
Right, but,
the way
but,
say it.
Right, but we're not asking you to come against her in front of the child, but we're asking you if the woman should have supported the man by standing in solidarity with him, and you put the words in there, right or wrong. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I know what Jesus told that man, that cut that man off, you know, put away your sword. If you dead by the sword, you know, you die by the sword, you know. But, he forgave him, you know, so on and so forth. But you might disagree, but, you know, I try to do it in such a way
Okay. All right.
When you do it, you just got to find the right way.
All right, Candlesticks, let's come back to you now. Candlesticks, you had a comment.
Yes, I do. Thank you. When you were, that question, you said, "Would does the wife, is she supposed to stand by her man?
Right.
Because they're her, you know, her husband. You know, the Bible tells us that we women are supposed to follow the man as he follows Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So if my husband is not disciplining our child in a Christ-like manner, I will disagree with him. I will not embarrass him or shame him in front of our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But I will let him know that I, even in front of my daughter, I would, you know, I would say, honey, there is another way that we think can handle this. And like I said, I would have my daughter go to her room, you know, and him and I would have a discussion about it. And even once our discussion is over, I would want to bring our daughter back and say, you know, Dad and I, we had a conversation, we came to an agreement, and this is how, oh yeah, I would let the husband do it because he is the head of the household, you know, and I would want him to explain to her that, you know, me and Mom, we this is what we agreed to, you know, and hopefully he would also apologize to her because we don't want her to be afraid of her dad. We don't want her to think that, you know, because we had not like a disagreement, but we didn't agree in front of her, she needs to know that we still stand together in the final decision that was made in reference to disciplining her. You know, so there is a Christ-like way to do it, and that's just how it has to be done. So if my husband is not disciplining our child in a Christ-like manner, then him and I, we do need to have it, because I agree with what Mimi was saying, that, you know, if he's wrong, he's wrong, and there is a proper way to discipline any child.
Okay, so we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. But no, let me just go back to you for a second. So the Bible does tell us to provoke not our children. But when it comes to that spouse, now you're telling me that I don't know how to discipline my child? Are you
telling me? Yeah.
Right. Okay, so now, wouldn't that be offensive to the man who's considered the head of the household, because you didn't stand in solidarity? But you intervened because you're saying in a subjective way that if he's not doing it in a Christ-like manner, when the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child, and it may be a paraphrase there. So now it's like, go ahead.
And that phrase, even though you're paraphrasing it, is subjective as well.
Right.
And when I say it's subjective as well, because when we're talking about spare the rod, what type of rod are we talking about? It could be, is it a physical rod? Is it a rod of correction as far as verbal is concerned?
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on your rod that you're using.
All right, we're going to ask you.
And we did not say, or you didn't say in the beginning, if this was a Christian home.
Okay.
Because there is a difference in a Christian home and then a home that does not have Christ in it.
But isn't the man, even if it's a non-Christian home, isn't the man considered the head of the household? Or is he not?
I don't believe that, because if they're not Christians, because my understanding, and let me know if I interpret the Bible wrong, I believe that the Bible is written for those who have given their lives to Christ, because that is our instruction book.
If we're in
the world and we are not Christians, each household determines who's the head of that household.
That's interesting.
Because you're a male doesn't determine or make you the head of the household because you're a man.
Okay, so...
Because nowadays we have men who stay at home, keep the children, let the female do the work, you know, and there is no head of the household. It's just both people coming together to run the household.
That's interesting. I've never heard it put like that, and we certainly respect all viewpoints. We do. That's part of our disclaimer. I've never heard it say like that, but I'm thinking that Jesus came and died for the atheist, the agnostic, the believer. So he came and died for all of us. So my interpretation, and I'm not saying that I get it right, but just the Bible is subjective, how we interpret it. So I can't judge and say that you got it wrong because it's based on one's perception and interpretation. But I would think that the Bible is for all of us who happen to, because if I'm a non-believer and all of a sudden my lady friend gets me to, or my spouse gets me to go to church one day and I don't really want to be there, but I hear something that the Holy Spirit convicts upon my heart, that something said that makes me think, that now it's like I can become, I read it in the Bible and now I'm puzzled because I'm thinking, wow, this is really deep. And I keep reading the before and after context of what it's talking about. And I'm saying, wow, that scripture, I've never really taken time to understand it. But I do want to say this here. We're going to actually stand by Candlestick. Mimi, I want to bring you in here for a second. And Mimi, I want to say the Bible that just says train up a child, it gives a lot of information, but it doesn't necessarily give specifics. Mimi, it doesn't, for example, it says train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from that. But it doesn't tell you how to train up this child. So Mimi, how do you explain that when if the woman is not standing in solidarity with the man, whether it's a Christian home or a non-Christian home, I would still think that that man's the head of the household, even though women wear pants. But I don't know. Help me. That's just my interpretation. Help me out with that.
Okay. In my opinion, train the child in the way that you go. That is true. However, if that spouse is not following the ways of the Lord and she is, she should still train that child in the word. That regardless if the father is a Christian or not, that's the most responsible thing to do.
Okay, so, but Mimi, I'm asking you a specific question here, and that is, how do you, the Bible does not say how to train. It's almost like if I'm a math teacher and I got these seventh grade students, and I say, we're going to take a test on the basic four areas of math, multiplication, division, subtraction, and what's the other one? Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division.
Yeah.
You know the four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
right.
They're saying, well, Dr. Walker, you didn't tell us how to do division. You only went over the other one. And you say you're going to give us a test on all of those? So if I didn't, is that fair? Is that fair? Mimi, I'm just asking the question. Is it fair to just assume that, you know, the children should take that test? And I haven't taught them that part of the...
No, whatever you went over, whatever you have taught them and trained them in, that's what you should go over. And same in with the Bible, go over scripture, pray with them. That's training, teaching them how to go to God in prayer. You know, they have issues. Yes, come to me. We'll pray about it. I'll teach you how to go through the scriptures, define what, you know, get your peace in the word.
Okay, so even though the Bible doesn't clearly point that out, so is that an assumption? Is that an subjective opinion or viewpoint? It doesn't give us that. What does it mean?
The kids pretty much will follow you whichever way you go.
Okay.
Well, if you're in the Word, keep them in the Word. You're telling them to go to the word, you know, and we go, not by themselves, but you show them, you train them, you teach them, you instruct them.
Okay.
They will follow you. They will follow that.
Okay.
You are training them. You're teaching them.
All right. So they will follow you wherever you go. All right. What? So now.
You got some. If you go to the club, they going to the club. It's how you teach them.
Okay, so Mimi, and I don't mean to laugh, it's just how you said it. So Mimi, would you say the Old Testament is different from the New Testament? Are we still under the obligation of the Old Testament? Are we?
We're under grace.
Okay,
we're
so.
We're under grace.
Okay,
not
so.
Not under the law.
Okay, so we don't have to abide by the Ten Commandments. Is that what you're telling me?
Jesus fulfilled it.
Okay, so my direct question is, do we still have to abide by the Ten Commandments?
Jesus fulfilled them. We have to go in the grace, the way of the Lord.
Okay, so what is grace then?
If we follow in Christ,
right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He fulfilled it. So he says love, you know, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Wrote the Ten Commandments. That's what God gave him.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold up. Let me back up just for a second. You say Moses wrote, did I hear you correctly that Moses wrote the Ten Commandments?
God gave Moses the Ten Commandments.
But you say Moses wrote the Ten Commandments.
No, God gave Moses on the tablet.
But who wrote them? Who wrote them?
God gave Moses the Ten Commandments.
But who wrote the Ten Commandments?
The big thief.
Right, I got it. But who wrote the Ten Commandments? I thought it was the finger of God. But who wrote them?
Well, you ain't talking about who wrote tough on paper. I'm just saying he got them. God gave Moses the commandments. And whether he wrote them, but it's on stone. The other was on paper.
Okay, so do you know who wrote them?
The Word of God is inspired by God. So every word is inspired. And when he gave them to the apostles and it is the inspired word.
That's a very good point that you're making, because Paul said that this is I speaking. So was that inspired by the Word of God? When
it
Paul
was, because God gave it to Paul.
Okay, we're going to certainly ask this now. But see, this is why I'm always learning something, and that, you know, I just like to go and research further, you know. So let me before you go, I want to ask you here. So because I didn't train the kids in division, and you said earlier when I asked the question that I shouldn't test them on that. I should only test them on what I taught them, which you said that would be fair. And so now, if the Bible didn't give us clear instructions on how to raise or train a child, how is it not, I mean, help me understand that.
You know what? You can't compare the two, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because it's a lifestyle. How are you teaching your children to be Christ-like or not to be Christ-like? And you want the very best for them, so you're going to teach them the right way.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Dee from Georgia, are you there? Or perhaps Dee from Georgia is not there. Let me go here. Oh, Dee from Georgia, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your patience as well. So, Dee from Georgia, how are we really supposed to train up a child? How are we really supposed to get the spouses to be on the same accord? The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Who comes first in a marriage?
The spouse does.
The spouse does. Okay, so and who's the head of the home, in your opinion?
The male is the head of the home. Yeah. It's him.
Okay, so
men and women and then children.
Okay.
I
only dressed
up to be dead.
Okay, go ahead. We got some noise in the background. I think we got some noise in your background, Dee from Georgia. Please, can you maybe move yourself from that, please? Okay. I think you moved towards it.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm away from it.
Okay.
Just what you said about how we should stand it down, because the Bible does tell us how to live. And how we live, what is right, we know right and wrong. And that is important to tell us. I mean, it's almost like how we don't teach the kids how to walk. They eventually learn. The problem is that in our efforts, they don't. That's something they learn. But if we're living as we're supposed to be, then we should automatically use that right.
Yes. D, was that a question?
No,
I was understanding that the Bible doesn't tell us how to teach children. Like someone has said that it wasn't fair for you to teach the children in the classroom, something that you had to talk with.
Oh, right, right, okay.
We're living life, then we should know how to teach. That's like how to walk. They don't know, but they do know right from wrong.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to Suzanne. Suzanne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Suzanne, so here we have a situation now. We're trying to get the two shall be one. The two shall be one. So who's the head of the house in your opinion? Who's the head of the house?
Yeah.
So does that mean when it says that the Bible gives instructions that the woman, it refers to the woman should submit unto her husband. So if the husband, you know, we're trying to find out who comes first according to what the Bible says. If he's disciplining the child like he did, shouldn't the woman just come and stand in solidarity with him and then perhaps discuss it later, as long as the man is not killing the child? I'm just asking the question.
Well, yes, she should support her husband and his decision. But, I mean, you stand there to make sure that things don't get too far out of hand. And then once it's over, then you and your husband, I feel, should go and discuss what just happened and then come back and talk to the child together.
Okay. All right, Suzanne, we're going to ask you to stand by. Wow, this is rather deep. Mimi, I want to bring you back in here. Mimi, I remember I was 13 at the time. I was 13. This is true. What happened to me? This particular time, my father was home. He was at the house. And he was a mechanic, you know, so he wanted me to learn how to do cars. I didn't want to learn how to do cars. So one cold night in Miami, Florida, and, you know, it don't get that cold, but it was cold. I'm 13-year-old. And so he told me just to simply hold the light while he was trying to fix something in the car under the hood. So I used manipulation. I'm not proud of it, but I was 13. And so I started whining loud enough that my mother would come to my rescue so she could hear me inside the house. And it worked. And she said to my father, you need to let that boy come out of that cold weather so he can come in the house so he don't catch cold. I'm like, thank you. I was praying that I don't have to stand in here and hold this light. It wasn't that I was even cold. I just didn't want to be there to hold no stupid light. And so when she got her way, because he said, gone on in the house. You just like your mama. You know, and I, whatever that meant at the time. But I got my way. It worked. Yes. So, Mimi, so let me just ask you, I mean, shouldn't my mother have just stood in solidarity with my father at the time? Because all the money, now that I'm older and all the money I've had to spend because I don't know how to even put a light in anywhere in the car or change the oil. Or I don't know how to do nothing on the car. I don't even know where the radiator is or the carburetor. Or I just barely know where the filter is. And I didn't know you had to change that often. So now I wish he had just politely said to my mom, go in the house. I mean, you know, to her, I got him. I'm trying to train him. So my manipulation now has worked against me, but I was 13. So is it my mother's fault, Mimi, that I don't know how to do stuff like that now?
It's not her fault, but I would have made you stay out there and hold the light because it wasn't going to hurt you.
But you hear me crying out there as my child that you gave birth to.
You still have to obey your dad. He just asked you to simply hold the light.
Then why, I mean, so if I'm crying loud enough like I'm dying out there, Mimi, come on, seriously? You going to let me stay out there and hold a stupid light?
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
I'm not going to go against my husband because he wasn't asking you to do anything wrong or illegal. It was just hold the pipe. He's trying to teach you some things that you should know. And if you're not out there with
your dad, how are you going to know if you don't even know how to do anything under a hood of a car?
It's cost me a lot of money these days, a lot of money, because I didn't hold that light. And I preach sermons on hold the light. So I want to bring in now candlestick. Should my mother have stood in solidarity? Because he hollered at me, too. Go in the house, you just like your mama. Why you got to talk about my mama?
I don't know why you talk about your mama, but I'm in agreement with Miss Nene. You were going to stay out there hold that light. And I was listening because, you know, each scenario has its own answers because, you know, you're talking in solidarity. And this is something that I would have put in solidarity with my husband because it wasn't like you were slapping the kid around or slapping him around or whatever, but you're trying to teach him something. He's a boy. You're his father. Talking about being underneath the car. Joe, you stand right there with your dad and you will be fine. And y'all will even bring you a sweater. Here, put a coat on. I don't want to hear your mouth some more.
So then I'm going to be mad because I used to use manipulation, right? Sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. So now I'm going to tell my mom I'm not going to eat your food anymore in life.
I would say be hungry. I'm not. My mom would say, it's going to be all right. Yep. You will eat when you get hungry. Yes, absolutely. Dr. Walker, may I read a scripture here because I was listening to the conversation that you and Miss Mimi were having earlier.
Yes. Go ahead. We're almost out of time. We're actually out of time, but go ahead.
Okay, about the writing of the Ten Commandments.
Right.
If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 10, it does say, it says, and the Lord delivered unto me, and this is Moses talking, two tables of stone written with the finger of God,
right,
and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord faith with you in the mount of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. So God himself wrote on the stones and presented them to Moses to take down to the children of Israel. And that's in Deuteronomy
9, verse 10. Right.
Yep.
And thank you for that. So now I want to go and address something else. We're out of time, and I appreciate you all standing by just for a second or two. And so now, Mimi had said we're under grace, and I asked, what is grace? And then at the same time, are we obligated under the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament? And she said that, and correct me, Mimi, if I'm wrong, and I don't want to misquote you, that we're, you know, that she didn't say directly, but that God, Jesus came to fulfill the law. So are the Ten Commandments based on the two principles that Jesus presented when he was on the earth? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself, which means the first one that he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, references, in my opinion, the first four commandments. And then the second six references man's humanity to man. So help me understand that. Are we being under grace? Does that mean even though Jesus presented those two, are we not bound by upholding the Ten Commandments? So that means I can do whatever I want to do and have seven wives?
If you love God, you're going to do what is right. You're not going to go against those Ten Commandments because Jesus has already fulfilled them. We're under grace, love. And that's what if you love Christ, you're going to obey what he fulfilled.
Okay, so fulfill, that means something different to me, because now, was Solomon not obeying God? And who's the
one? It is finished.
Right.
It was done deal.
So was Solomon obeying God when he had 700 wives and 300 concubines? Was he obeying? He just was the wisest man that ever lived. So he had
old covenant.
Huh?
That's under the old covenant.
Okay, so now we're going to transition from the Old Testament to the Old Covenant. Now I'm trying to, you know, we got to continue. Okay, all right. So listen, you all, just before we go, I want to do close out here. And just with a thought, you know what? Study to show thyself approved. That's what I want to just be able to say in closing on tonight's broadcast. Please study, all of us. me. I go in and I read it every day, every day. But it's not enough for me now. I can't speak for anybody else to just read scripture or have scripture read to me. It's I got to go deeper to find out what season was that in that they may have talked about. Because sometimes we can be deceived by what someone tries to interpret for us. This is just my opinion, you all. Like, if you're telling me that Christmas is, that Christ was born on December the 25th, my research doesn't tell me that. So it starts to look at this as perhaps commercialism, and I'm not trying to influence or persuade anyone. So, I mean, my research takes me to October, and because I looked at the things that were happening during that time, and it's just like the scripture says, you know, and when we allow other people to interpret them for us, it says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. So I grew up thinking that, oh, I'm not supposed to be rich. So I need to, because then I heard sermons where if you're not struggling and going through something, then you're not serving God. So I'm confused as a little kid, and it's like, I don't even want to be in church because, you know, it wasn't a children's church. It was like the grown-up church, and it's like, I want to be rich one day because I wanted to be a philanthropist. And so now I'll go to hell if I'm rich. So then that changes your mindset because it makes you confused. But the needle, because I've associated that scripture with a needle that my mother would sew my clothes when I tore them. She's sewing my clothes, and she had, I remember, I can see her now trying to get this thread through that eye of the needle. And it was sometimes she's like, where's my glasses? And then even with her glasses in, she's like, come in, boy, and try to get this needle in. I'm like, get this needle in there. Even with my eyes, it was like hard to do. So I'm thinking a camel, a big camel can never fit through that needle. It could never do. But then it was later, as I became an adult, studying the scriptures and prophecy and history for myself, that they weren't talking about a needle that you thread or sew something with. They were talking about a needle, which is like a pillar that a camel goes through in one of these places like Egypt. And so it's like, do you see how we allow somebody to interpret something for us rather than studying to sew ourselves approved? Candlestick, just come in with me. How do you feel about that?
As far as interpreting or reading for yourself?
Yes.
And you are correct. And I'm going to give one little example that I know, like you said, we're out of time, that when I became a Christian, I used to remember how people would say when at Noah's Ark that the animals went in two by two. And you always heard that, I always heard that growing up. But then when I sat and read the creation and the Bible flood myself, the Bible says that they went in two by seven. So I'm like, oh. And then I read more, and the reason that they went in two by seven is because two of the animals were considered unclean, seven were considered clean, because on the ark there was no vegetation. They were in there for, 40 days and 40 nights on water. So those eight people had to have something to eat. And God does not want us to eat unclean animals, because he states that in the Word of God. So that just that one thing about two by two and two by seven, one little thing like that I read for myself, and that let me know that, oh, I got to read the Word. I can't just go by what people tell me, because people aren't always telling the truth. So I totally agree with you that we need to read for ourselves to show thyself approved, and God tells us that in his Word.
That is a brilliant point. Anybody else, Mimi, you got a comment? Anyone else before we close out, before we go?
I'm good. No comment.
Okay. So, Pastor Rowe, just how important is it? This is our final question for tonight. How important is it for us to study to show ourselves approved?
Can I just see can you hear me, Dr. Walker?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I thought I had it on. Very, very important, and it's very, very important to study, and it
get various perspective. You know, all roads lead to Rome. You know, and the Bible, you know, the Bible is our instruction book. And so to study, we can write the divine, the word of truth, you know. And the last thing I want to say, the last 5 seconds, we left out the Holy Spirit, you know. A lot of times when you're going through challenges and changes, it's good to go into your secret closet, just be quiet and listen, you know. And that still small voice within you, you know. Is God speaking to you in the third person of the Trinity, you know? And if we listen to it, God will lead you and guide you in making the right decisions.
All right, listen, on that note, we're completely out of time. I want to thank all of you all, even the ones that we weren't able to get tonight. Thank you for taking time out to be with us on tonight's broadcast. We'll be back here next week with the show next Thursday for a show that you do not want to miss. It went in for the publication today. Next week's show, you please mark your calendars for Thursday and Friday, because you don't want to miss next week's show. I can assure you it's going to be a very powerful show. Please be with us. Listen, until Thursday or until Friday or until next Saturday, one of those days, sometime next week, I want to say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Great show. Good night. Good night, Pastor Rowe. Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night, all the co-hosts. God bless you all. Great show. Stay safe. Stay well. Everybody. Keep safe and keep well.
Okay.